Benjamin Bush is an actor who has appeared on The Wire, Homicide, The West Wing, and Generation Kill. He's also a U.S. Marine Corps officer who served two combat tours in Iraq, and he is a writer. His new memoir, Dust to Dust, is a meditation on life and loss and war. It's published by Echo, and I'm very pleased that it brings Benjamin Bush to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, you just told me before we went on the air that you never imagined you'd be a writer. You grew up in a family where your father was a well-known writer. Is that a reason you did not think of becoming a writer?
I don't think it was any kind of resistance to the fact that my father was a writer and my mother a librarian. I was just a very kinetic kid. I was very tactile, and I spent my time in my landscape, which was exterior, moving, and I couldn't really imagine that language would be the form that I would express myself with. I was a visual artist.
You write about playing war games, building forts and staging battles, pretending you were a soldier when you were a child, but your parents wouldn't buy any toy guns.
Well, no. I mean, they were fresh from Vietnam War protests, and the thing that parents are charged with, which is the hard part of parenting, is that their job, their life mission is to protect their children and keep them from harm's way. And of course, the Marine Corps, probably not the direction that will do that for them.
Well, what happened when you enlisted?
There was a very long silence at Vassar College. Not known perhaps for producing the most military officers, but I was a studio art major. I was making prints and sculpture, and I think they thought I was past that phase.
Well, both of your grandfathers had served in World War II. Did that inspire you in any way?
Well, I think, I certainly respected both of them and knew that they had an experience that was incalculable, that was something, in youth you have different views of everything, and that's very much what the book is about, is how we all come, we begin this journey at birth. We may go in very different directions, but we all emerge from our childhood with the imprints of youth, and they echo. And I think very young that I was drawn to the adventure and what I'd hoped would also be the nobility of service.
Well, you mentioned that your mother was a librarian, but she also had a love of gardening, which you write about. Did that help shape your own relationship with nature, which is a major focus of this book?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think my father had this very strange relationship to nature, which was that he was convinced it was stalking him. And so he lived a very interior life.
Well, he went into a room and wrote.
He did, yeah.
A lot of books.
Yeah, he observed through windows. He was a very, careful observer of nature, but he didn't want to participate so much in the outdoors. And I couldn't really find myself in the interior. So my mother was that person who dug into the earth and showed me that soil was this incredible substance.
And you write about being gone from breakfast to dinner time. What were you doing?
Well, I was exploring. I was finding my way in the universe. I was walking through forests. I was building stone forts and damming rivers. And I was trying to, in some ways, make a mark on my landscape, somehow influence nature in a way that I thought was significant in my youth.
You could have been another Robert Smithson.
Well, who knows what we can be? I think the great thing about youth is that we still believe we could be anyone.
You also lived in England
for
a while. The English definitely have done things to shape their landscape.
And that impressed me tremendously because in my youth, I saw these castles, I saw these cathedrals built of stone, and it impressed upon me so much that I really began to believe then that stone was the medium of perpetuity. And so I became a stonemason for those reasons. When I was a teenager, I really thought that would be the thing most permanent. I was obsessed with permanence. And, of course, the book is so much about the cycles that take us away from a belief in that.
Well, this isn't really a war memoir, although you write about your time serving in Iraq. But did this book grow out of thinking about your war experience?
Well, the book attempts to articulate the human experience, our place in time and in the universe. And war is unfortunately part of that savage fringe that we carry. I think it was a natural progression of who I was. I think everyone plays war when they're young, but there's no consequence for that. There's no danger in the playing of it.
Well, many of us abandon that after we hit a certain age.
Right.
Or the war becomes something else like sports.
Sure.
Yeah. Or competitiveness.
Absolutely. But I think those early inclinations we have as children do grow into the thing we pursue, no matter how it's transformed. And for me, it was a very direct line. Despite the fact that it was always intertwined with my artistic urges, I always had this sense of, you know, I guess, martial instincts in some ways, and I followed them all the way.
Despite your parents, the memoir is also a collection of memories. Were you remembering things when you were in Iraq that you have written about here?
Oh, certainly.
Was that a way of maintaining some kind of sense of balance when you're in a terrible situation?
Well, I think I've just been endlessly fascinated with my surroundings. And because of that, I'm always making associations. No matter where I am, if I'm in New York or if I'm in Iraq, if I see something in particular, it draws my eye and also draws a memory of why my eye might be picking up on a certain thing. And so I kind of always had these brief brushes with memory, and this book required that I go and live in memory, which is something I hope it does to readers.
My guest is Benjamin Bush. His book, Dust to Dust, a Memoir. We'll get to that Dust to Dust in a while. And as you said, you studied studio art at Vassar. There aren't too many. I studied studio art, and I can't remember one of my classmates then enlisting in the Marines.
Well, I think it's
or
not
going into the military voluntarily.
Yeah, it's the big Vassar secret. We're producing a lot of military officers out of our studio art program, but I don't think that many people are wired that way to be, in some ways, drawn to these two very different instincts. Some people think that they're irreconcilable, but I've always found them to be very much part of my personality. The two of them are intertwined. Not only that, but they're interdependent. I think one needs the other on both sides.
Well, many writers have gone to war and not only been affected by it, but have written great books as a result.
Certainly.
But not so many artists. Were you in one of the first reserve units to head to Iraq?
Yes, we were part of the initial invasion.
So you went to Kuwait first?
We went to Kuwait first and then pushed through the Iraqi border. It had already been the war had begun by the time we got there. We were a little bit late. And so we ended up kind of moving through Nasiriyah after it had already been destroyed, essentially. And we pushed through all the way to the Iranian border, where we were essentially left. It wasn't big news at the time, but I found the Iranian border to be an incredibly important part of the future of that country, that place. And so
well, there had been the site of a prolonged war between Iraq and Iran.
Yeah, the whole idea that we'd forgotten as we began to see Iranian influence, I kind of keep on reminding everyone that, you know, yes, they're both Shia, but you know, in this region, especially in the southeast, the Iraqis were Shia, but Arab Shia, and the Iranians were Persian Shia, and that was the point of an entire war that Saddam had launched in the 80s.
Your unit was trying to find Saddam Hussein, who'd gone into hiding right after the invasion. Where were you looking for him?
Well, we would often go on strange missions to try to locate someone who had been reported as Saddam in the area in a small car with motorcycle escorts. And so there obviously he was not there. He was far away from where we were on the border. We were mostly looking for weapons of mass destruction initially, which we didn't find. And then,
and what happened when people realized there weren't any weapons of mass destruction? Did they feel betrayed, or just simply say, well, the mission has changed?
Well, we were told the mission had changed, but the soldier, like the child, is doomed to be betrayed. That's the problem with war. That's the problem with growing up and realizing that some things we imagine are not true.
Well, you also start off this book saying, I knew very early that I was a solitary being. Well, here you are, what we hear again and again from people who've experienced the military life, is that they felt like they were part of a family, that they loved their comrades.
Oh, and I did. I absolutely...
So you couldn't be solitary anymore?
Well, I was. I was in command. And, you know, you hear about how lonely it is at the top. No matter how you are in a group, you can be alone in a group. And it's because you live in your mind still. It wasn't like I was isolated in my own, you know, spatially. I was within that group, but I was thinking about things that perhaps everyone else wasn't.
You went the first time you thought it wasn't as bad an experience as your second time in Iraq. What was the difference?
Well, initially, no one knew what was going to happen with Iraq. We didn't know. The Iraqis didn't know.
And you said you felt during your first tour that you were invulnerable.
Yeah. Well, I had to carry it that way. It was expected of me. You know, you certainly carry a certain disposition that shows you to be invulnerable because it sets a tone for your unit. And in my second tour, I was wounded within my first 2 weeks. And I was convinced that in fact, that tour, I would be killed. So it was a very different attitude that I carried in both tours. But it's an interesting thing, war, this very dramatic and extreme example of humanity at odds. And at the same time, all seeking really the same thing, which is safety.
Well, it's interesting that you've called this book Dust to Dust because I suspect it also has led you to this experience, to meditate on death. I'm always surprised after having talked about the war experience with returned soldiers that everyone doesn't have PTSD, for example.
I don't know how they don't. Do you think you have
PTSD?
You know, I stay busy enough not to let it linger. I think that part of letting some of that go is to tell the narrative, is to articulate the experience, which I've done in this book to some extent. And well, I think that that we all carry the experiences, all of us. I mean, even a bad childhood is post-traumatic in some ways for many people. It affects who you are forever, and no one can deny that.
Well, many returning soldiers have committed suicide, and that's a thought you reveal you've thought about once or twice.
Well, no, I haven't. I don't think that the book paints it that way, but it certainly is to grapple with who we are, to grapple with life, and to know that we are brief is something that's, you know, a huge issue for people to deal with.
We have very little time, but I have to get into the acting. You say you were solitary. Acting is definitely a collaborative effort.
Absolutely, yeah.
You wound up in the HBO series The Wire after you returned in 2003, and then you went back to Iraq?
Yeah. Yeah, I went back into Ramadi in 2005, which was a very bloody tour.
And then you were in Generation Kill, which was an HBO miniseries about the war in Iraq. Was that strange?
It was. It was very strange. Actually, some of the hardest acting was to act in a way that I already knew how to be, you know, to act as a military commander in some ways, and to see the recreation of a place that was real to me was very interesting and unsettling at times.
What about the accuracy of it? So many people complain that movies are never like the real thing.
Well, you know, character obviously is going to be fictionalized. We're actors playing people who really existed, and things will change in that way. But I think they got the look, the attitude, and the spirit of the Marines very well.
So do you see your future in acting? Now you've written this book, which has gotten wonderful reviews.
Well,
will you be writing again as well?
I never thought I would write a book, as we've talked about. I write scripts, and I look forward to trying to put some feature films into the world and maybe get a show up and running. I'd love to return to acting, of course, but I'm also a director, and I'm pursuing that as well. This book tour will be going for quite a while. It's a 197-city tour, so I'm going to be on the road for about 5 months trying to reach out to readers and really make that connection that we all share a base in childhood and memory, and those echoes kind of keep coming back to us and have defined in some ways who we are.
Well, you've also been nominated a couple of times for the Pushcart Prize, so the writing is obviously quite serious. And guest commentator on NPR's All Things Considered. So do I have to fear that you're going to become future competition for my job?
You know, if you keep on having me as a guest, I think you can mollify me.
Benjamin Bush's memoir, Dust to Dust. is published by Echo. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.